Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us as we continue in our teaching series of Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. Today, 1 Corinthians 15. This is a study session, so no live phone calls today, but you can still voicemail your questions to us now or anytime at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Or if you prefer to write your question, you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to get an answer to you on the air as soon as possible. But for right now, let's get underway with today's broadcast. It's Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passage, number 8. So, Bob, tell the listeners again what it's going to be.
Well, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to certainly not going to cover the entire chapter. It's 58 verses, but we're going to get to some key sections of this particular chapter. And really, this chapter is the heart and soul of Christianity. Why? Because it deals with the resurrection. Mm-hmm. It first tells us what the gospel message is, and then it tells us the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything in Christianity hinges on that resurrection. If Christ had simply died on the cross for our sins, but wasn't raised back to life, then we would have no hope. Right. We would still be dead in our sins. So this resurrection story really is the heart and soul of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So I've divided this up, and we're going to look at three key sections. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, why this is such an important section of this particular chapter is it gives us the summary statement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what the gospel is, here it is in just black and white and very clear, direct language. And it was this gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians. It was this gospel that the Corinthians received. It was this gospel in which they stand. And it's the same for you and me. We have heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And it's on that message that we take our stand, and it's in and through that message that we are saved. And that is so vitally important to understand what the gospel message is. I think if you lined up 100 people, you just found 100 people and you lined them up and you ask each one, what is the gospel? And they were able to answer independently, you might get 100 different answers about this gospel message. But here it is very clear. And this was a message that Paul received. It's not a message that he made up. It's not something that he sat down and said, hey, here's what I'm going to say about the good news. No, this was revealed to him. This was given to him. He received it, and he received it in such a way that it saved him, and then he passed it on through the preaching of this good news. So what is the gospel again? It is this, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the story.
Yeah.
That is the news. That is the event that took place 2,000 years ago. So when we proclaim the gospel, we're like reporters reporting an event that happened many years ago that has impact on us today.
Yeah.
So what is it? It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all this in accordance with the scriptures. So this isn't something that is outside of the Word of God. This is something that God has unfolded through the law and the prophets, and it found its culmination 2,000 years ago when Christ entered into our world, when Christ inhabited that body that God the Father had prepared for him, and when Christ offered that body as the once-for-all sacrifice to take away our sins, and then that body being raised back to life so that you and I could have hope and that you and I could have life everlasting. So that happened. It was an historical event. And Paul wants to put that mark of authenticity on the story in the fact that he says that Jesus appeared to Cephas after he was raised from the dead. And that was something that the disciples had a hard time understanding,
yeah,
that Jesus was going to be raised back to life. And so when they went to the garden tomb, when the women went to the garden tomb and the tomb was empty, they weren't thinking that he is alive. They were thinking that somebody had taken the body, and they were wanting to know where that body was. And then Jesus appeared to Mary. Mary was told to go tell the disciples. Jesus appeared to Peter, then to 12, and he appeared to 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive when Paul wrote this.
Yeah.
So there were witnesses. So they could tell this story, and they could say, if you don't believe me, go talk to this person. Why? Because he has seen the resurrected Jesus. Mm-hmm. So there were eyewitness accounts to this event, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He appeared to James, his half-brother, and he appeared to Paul. And as Paul said, he was an apostle kind of out of time, yeah, out of sync, mm-hmm, with the others. He shouldn't have been an apostle because he persecuted the church. This is Paul's words.
Right.
And yet God put his hand on him and said, Paul, I'm going to send you out to the Gentile world. And when you go out there, you're going to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what he preached. That's what the Corinthians believed, and that's what you and I believe today, that Christ died for my sins in accordance with Scripture, that Christ was buried, and that on the third day he was raised back to life so that I too could be raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the good news of Jesus Christ.
Indeed, it is good news. And friends, we're glad you're with us today to hear it on Basic Gospel. This, of course, is session number 8 of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. And we're pausing for just a moment to remind you that we need your help to continue broadcasting and streaming this good news of Jesus Christ every day. So please, help keep the message going. Click donate at basicgospel.net to help with your gift today. Again, there's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. But now quickly, back to number 8 on Bob's Top 10 Favorite Passages. We're taking a look at 1 Corinthians 15. Bob, take her away.
Well, as we're talking about this, this is the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's the resurrection that serves as the linchpin. Everything hinges on the fact that Jesus came back to life. Uh-huh. And Paul wants to really hammer that home for each and every one of us. What if Christ had not been raised? And he looks at all of the results of that, mm-hmm, for you and me.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that Christ was raised from the dead. And we're going to see the significance of this in this next section. And this is verses 12 through 20. And we read, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, so Paul was proclaiming that Christ had been raised from the dead, Peter was proclaiming that Christ had been raised from the dead, all the other apostles were proclaiming that Christ had been raised from the dead, all of the deacons that had been chosen, they were proclaiming that, and it was a message that was being spread far and wide that Jesus Christ, whom was crucified, is now alive. So they were preaching that Christ has been raised from the dead. So he asked the question, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And certainly there was a lot of skepticism back then, as there is today. There is a lot of people scratching their heads and saying, that just can't be true. It can't be true that somebody who once died is now alive today, and that that resurrection can have an impact on us. So Paul goes with that assumption, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So if what you say is true, that there's no such thing as the resurrection of the dead, then what we're preaching is false. Yeah. Why? Because Christ would not have been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Mm-hmm. So it just sucks the air right out of the Christian story, right out of Christianity. And it sucks the air right out of your faith that you have placed in God the Father because he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And in verse 15, he says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. So Paul was preaching that you believe, you receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life, that you're raised to walk in the newness of life. But if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you're still dead spiritually. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They fell asleep thinking that they're going to be with the Lord forever, and in reality, they've simply perished. Now, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. I mean, if you look at the Christians throughout human history, many have sacrificed much to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Many have been martyred through the years, and we see that even happening today. And if all their hope was in Christ, and all it means is something for this life, then they're to be pitied, and we're to be pitied. But here's the good news, and Paul puts an exclamation point in this last verse. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is a true story. It is a historical event. We may question how it happened. We may delve into it and have all kinds of things that we really want to know more information. But we cannot take away from the fact that it's true, that there was a man named Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, who grew up in Nazareth, who at the age of 30 became a public figure. He had his ministry headquarters in Capernaum on the north shores of the Sea of Galilee. And in 3 years, he mesmerized the entire population of Israel to a point they were asking, who is this man? And he declared, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of the Jews. And he was crucified for that very proclamation, and people saw it. They witnessed it. Historians wrote about it. And then the body was taken off of that Roman cross. That body was buried in a borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea took control of it. And then the women came to anoint the body with all kinds of spices. And when they got there, that tomb was empty. The stone had been rolled away and the body was missing. Yeah. And in a very short while, Jesus shows up on the scene in that resurrected body, that immortal, imperishable body. And he speaks to Mary and he says, Mary. And Mary recognizes him, and she is astounded that Jesus is alive. And he says to her, go and tell the disciples. Peter and John came racing. John outruns them, and he's the first to enter in this empty tomb and sees that it's true, that Jesus isn't there. And Peter looks in, and he sees it's not true. And then they get to see him in Jerusalem, and then on the north shores of the Sea of Galilee. And then Jesus appears to 500 more, and they begin telling the story. It is a historical event. Jesus indeed was raised from the dead, and because he was raised from the dead, we can know that our sins have been forgiven, that we have eternal life in him, and that we have a hope that anchors us in this life today.
Indeed. It is basic gospel, everybody, and that is the good news. You know, knowing the truth and being reminded of God's love and grace can help you start every day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing that you are indeed a child of God. And one of the very best ways that I think that that can happen is by opening your email box every morning, every first thing every morning, and finding the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Start each day with the sure knowledge that you are a dearly beloved child of God. The devotional is free, and you can start your subscription right now at basicgospel.net/subscribe, and we hope you'll do that. You can do it, as I said today, at basicgospel.net/subscribe.
Well, and this resurrection is a way that we know that all the claims of Christ are true. God raised him in power, and that is an exclamation point on all the claims that Jesus made about himself and the work that he accomplished on the cross. The fact that he was raised from the dead proves that his work on the cross was finished once and for all, and that sacrifice that he offered to God the Father was accepted on our behalf. And if God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus the Son, then we should be pleased with the sacrifice of his Son as well, and rejoice that we can experience this resurrection life here and now, with the hope that one day we're going to get resurrected bodies. Now, as Paul is explaining this, the question comes up, well, what are these resurrected bodies going to be like? And so the last part of this chapter is an explanation about these resurrected bodies. And so we start in verse 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Now, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Now, who are those? Those are going to be the folks who have been born again of the Spirit of God, who have been made new in Christ Jesus. So just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So, folks, as believers in Christ, we're housed in a perishable body, a body that is still subject to sin and death, a body that is going to die one day. But when it does, it's going to be sown perishable, and what comes out is going to be raised imperishable. Now, talk about an awesome hope.
Yeah.
So he says, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But he says this, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed.
Doesn't that give you goosebumps?
Oh, my gosh, it does. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, Jesus Christ has already won the battle.
Yes.
And he has put his spirit into our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. Well, what's to come? That one day this body is going to go into a grave, and at the last trump, a new body is going to be raised. And this body that was perishable is going to become a body that is imperishable. A body that was mortal is now going to be immortal. It's going to live forever. So that death is going to be totally swallowed up in victory. So, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about a victory cry.
Yes,
I mean,
indeed.
There's no greater statement in the Word of God than this last one. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And believers, this should be our victory cry every single day. As we face the pressures of this world, as we see the moral decay and the erosion of all the values that we hold so dear going on out there, we look out and say, but Jesus has already won the victory, and thanks be to God, that victory is mine, that I am not without hope. I have the victory of Jesus Christ living inside of me. Now, Bob, you and I were talking yesterday after the broadcast, and we were talking about this idea of death, how so many researchers and so many wealthy people are funneling money into research to see if there is an answer to death. Yes, they're trying to solve and cure various diseases, but what's really underneath it is this problem of death. Is there any way that we can overcome it? And the answer is no. There is absolutely no way that humans can overcome death, but God can. What is an impossibility to us is possible for God. God has power over death.
Yes.
He proved it 2,000 years ago by raising Jesus from the dead. He's the first fruit, and guess what? That power is going to raise you up at that last trumpet, and you're going to have a brand new body. It's going to be in the likeness of Jesus's. And so that total transformation is going to take place where you're like Jesus in every aspect, fully alive spiritually, truth funneling out through the soul, the mind, the emotions, and will being carried out in this brand new resurrected body. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, here's the final words of encouragement. Finally, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What is that work? Well, it's being an image bearer. It's telling people that this Jesus who died 2,000 years ago was raised back to life so that you can have eternal life here and now and hope beyond the grave. That's why resurrection is the centerpiece, the heart and soul of Christianity.
And that is good news from Basic Gospel and Bob Christopher's favorite passage, number 8. We're glad you're with us today, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're going to do it again next week, and we'll have number 9 on that in that lineup. But in the meantime, if you have questions about anything you've heard on Basic Gospel or in general for that matter, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-2742. We, of course, love hearing from you, our listeners, and we'll be glad to address your question on Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Once again, 844-322-2742. Also, please remember the need of your support for this ministry. If Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, help us keep the good news coming by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back with us again on Monday after a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.